Hello, hello, hello. This is Sean Dean Pete, Tribal Research Specialist.
Gotcha.
All right. As I was saying,
yeah,
the Indian man's a complicated creature. You know, we can endure a lot of pain and suffering, a lot of adversity. But when it comes down to it, man, we're crying inside, right?
Yeah. Crybabies.
I like how you agreed with that really solemnly. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it almost made you cry. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's serious. It's serious business.
Well, I'm not here to make you cry, so let's pick the mood up a bit. I know I hit a nerve. Yeah. The Nakoa nerve. You probably just got done fighting with your old lady. Yeah. So I got to record, and she's like, "What do you mean?" And then she got on your case.
Yeah.
Now you're just getting it over with.
Yeah.
Face the music later, right?
Yeah.
That's a nervous laugh.
Yeah, we'll apologize later.
but passive aggressively.
yeah, passive aggressively. Keep the shoes on in the house, you know, that kind of stuff, you know.
No serious apologies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know how it goes. We're going to get deep. This is our 49th episode. You know that? 49th episode.
Oh, man. I like that number. You know, brings back memories. The full 49th.
It's fitting. It's fitting.
Yeah. We should have had if I'd have known that, I could have set up a green screen. And we could have had like an old car hood, you know, a couple car hoods behind us.
You could have brought a car hood.
Yeah. Yeah, we could have brought one.
Aaron.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. I can.
Is it loud and clear?
Yeah.
Can you hear this?
What? No, I heard nothing. Silence. Silence. I hear you though. Breathing.
You
mouth
can hear
breathing.
Me clear?
Yeah, loud I hear you really clear? Good.
Really?
Yeah. That's rare.
Well, I didn't charge my computer.
You gotta be kidding me.
I wish I was. Hey Koa, how's it going?
Hey Aaron, how are you?
I'm good. Man, Koa sounds legit. I sound whack.
I know, he sounds like
I can hear you. I can hear you loud and clear.
Well, it's your voice, man. Well, it's his voice. He's got that solemn, "I just got in a fight with my old lady because I have to record at night."
Yeah.
Voice. They've been yelling.
Yeah, kind of harshed out, you know.
you did you just get done saying hurtful things?
Yeah.
Yeah, hurtful things. That's we're just talking about, this is our 49th episode. And the significance of that is somewhat ironic.
Yeah.
Because
I kind of thought so.
Because the song I wanted to share with you guys is actually an old 49er.
Nice.
Yeah. Aaron, are you with us?
What's up?
Okay.
Nothing. An old 49 song.
Okay, just making sure.
How's that look, guys?
Oh, yeah, there it is.
I like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I like the sweater too. The sweater's looking nice.
It's Old Navy Playboy. That's how you know you're aging, is when you go to Old Navy and everything makes sense.
Yeah. Right. Feels right.
You look at the mannequin, you say, I want that look.
You're like, hey, that's for me. How the mannequin is, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Show me where that's at.
Yeah.
In fact, get it for me. Get it down for me.
Yeah.
I think that's my size.
I think the other sign of aging is a little bit is when you're you wake up in the morning and your bros text you or you text them and you realize it's like 5:30. You know what I mean? That's another sign.
Yeah.
You know, 5:30 in the morning texting with the bros, you know.
Yeah, yeah. 2 decades ago, that would have been different scenario.
You would have been just going to bed.
Yeah, you'd just been going to bed.
You send them a picture of your coffee. That's
classic.
Oh yeah, that's it, man. Yeah, man. I want you guys to listen to this. I want you guys to listen to this. 49er, man. This comes straight at you from the year 1976.
Oh, I'm not gonna know it.
I don't know if I've heard it either, but this is the epitome of live, because this is recorded live at a 49. Aaron probably knows the place because this was in his Aboriginal territory. They're in the Crow Fair. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
here we go. Tell me if you can hear that. These guys ain't sober. If you listen carefully, you hear some wheezy in there. I can hear my dad in there wailing away.
Dude, you're probably conceived at this.
I was ditched in the teepee, man. I was two. But my brother might have been. Shanta was conceived.
I never heard this song.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about that, man?
I'd like to know where you got that, or, you know, how did you recover that from 76? That's before we were born, before I was born anyway.
Before you was born.
I was born.
Before Aaron was born. I was two.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was recorded by my dad and my mom. I inherited a bunch of tapes from my dad passed. And so I've been slowly digitizing them and throwing them up on YouTube. This is one of them. Live recording. Actual 49 awesome. Crow Fair. Where do these 49s happen at there, Aaron?
Well, back then, I mean, probably right in the camps, but remember Two-Leggins kind of became the spot, you know, Two-Leggins.
Yeah.
Which is actually a state park.
A state park now.
Well, it was then.
What was then?
I always thought it was weird that we would. It's on the res, but it's a little piece of state park next to the river. So we go there and give the county jurisdiction over us, which is weird.
Wow.
It was like, why? Now you go into the state park. Now the sheriff has jurisdiction over you. Then the BIA just waits for you out here. So you're like, what do we? I don't know.
Better to do time in county than tribal.
And, you know, I only went out there one time. That was like maybe probably the last year they had a 49 out there, you know.
Oh, yeah. They don't do it no more out there then, huh? Get banned?
No, dude. It's the Wild West right in the camp, man.
Yeah.
Not right now? Like today? Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that statement there.
Wow. Yeah.
I haven't seen that, I guess. I suppose that's sovereignty, right?
Remember, sovereignty is the right to make decisions that are both good and bad, right?
That's right. We've said that. Sovereignty, right to do good and bad. And for you to choose whether that is good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. We got Nakoa here on the line, and we've been trying to connect with him for a while. Last time I reached out and asked Nakoa if he wanted to come on, he said, "Oh, I'm going to Canada." And I thought, well, they got Wi-Fi up there. What's the heck? What the heck, man?
Yeah.
I thought, well, maybe he's going up there illegally, so he don't want to be, you know.
Yeah, we don't want to give the IPs up there.
Yeah, we got to kind of stay on the down.
Getting traced. Getting tracked.
Yeah. But, man, I wanted to ask both of you actually one question. I want you to think about this. What's changed? Now, you guys are a little bit younger than I am. What's changed since your time singing and seeing the powwow or / round dance, anything associated with what you're familiar with in the things that you participate in? What's changed from then until now? Because I've been noting some things and I think it's I like to know what you've noticed.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Aaron. Let me know. Then we'll give Nicole a chance to think it over.
That's a lot, man.
Well, how about just one or two things?
Remo drums.
The Remos.
Well, yeah, when I first started singing and even kind of started round dance, and I haven't been singing as long as you guys, but Remos weren't a thing. That's something simple.
Yeah.
And then I remember the first time I seen Remo drums, and it was a guy named Gabby Corral.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that.
We talked about last episode. Yeah.
But it was Remo drums.
Well, besides that one,
because
we talked about it.
Maybe the influx of like solo round dance singing.
So that's gone and went. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because when I first started singing, I guess Edmund Bull was probably like the only guy. There was a little bit like McGilvery and Green. They were kind of doing some stuff similar.
Duet.
But for the most part, it was like still groups, man. Yeah. Oh, man. And then we all lived through the Big River Cree fad, you know?
Yeah.
And how everyone pretends they weren't fans now. That's the part I like. It was real. Like, yeah. I wasn't even into them.
Some
like,
denialism.
No, you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot I could say, but go ahead,
Cole. Yeah. No, man, I got to add to that. You know, just a Big River Cree song came on tonight. I think it was my wife was playing some Pandora or something or Spotify or something. Anyway, one of those songs came on. Pure nostalgia, man. I mean, talk about taking you back a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's been a while. I'm telling you what, man, we jammed that. Over and over.
Everybody.
I was a big fan of Lard. You know, I actually got him to do a track on one of my albums, you know, I was living up there for a bit. Yeah. So I went and he happened to be shacked up on the res that I was at. So I went and seen him and asked him if he'd lay a track down. So yeah, man.
Is that recent?
Fan of Lard there. It's about 15 years ago, 16 years ago.
Which album is that on?
No, it's called Indian Summer.
Oh, Indian Summer. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He come and did a track there, and we just did it in the house. You know, we didn't have access to anywhere. We were all just kind of hanging out on the res there.
And, yeah.
But yeah, he came over and he laid a song right there, and you know, it was pretty cool. I mean, just because you know we traveled for so many miles, and that was definitely on the top playlist there. Bigger Recruit, man. It was there.
Good stuff. So you guys didn't go into the bathroom, into the shower and record it?
No. We did it in the living room.
Yeah. The stairwell thing came after.
That was before the stairwells.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, but, you know, I mean, you know, a lot is, you know, a lot has changed. It's kind of like what Aaron was talking about. But one of the things that, I guess stands out to me is it really did seem like a different vibe back in I want to say the 90s was a different era, music. And even I mean just the vibe of being at a powwow was different. And I just think and I'm not knocking this or saying it's a bad thing, but I think the level of competition has risen so high. I mean, you know, I mean the people honing in that talent is definitely next level, you know. And you know, it didn't seem like you know, 90s, it was kind of we weren't really trying to perfect the sound like that. We were just it was kind of freestyle, you know. Everyone just cut hard and you know. And but now it seemed like, you know, some of these groups, these top-notch groups, it's almost like perfection almost, you know. I mean, it's almost robotic, man. These guys are next level for sure. And I mean, which is a good thing. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's just you know, of course, you know, back in the 90s, you know, it was rare to even see a $5,000 singing contest for first place. Yeah. I mean, I remember that was one of the first times it ever came out, was in the mid 90s, and everyone was like kind of freaking out, like, oh, $5,000, you know. And you know, now it's like kind of like 15 to 20 is kind of pretty standard, you know, nowadays. That's what you see. So that's one of the main things that I've seen that's really kind of changed, but it also changed the vibe a little bit, right? You know, it's a little different vibe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, seeing that evolution, man, has been quite the thing. And you know, like you said, it's not bad, I don't think. But for some people, you know, you have those one people who say, I don't like powwow no more, and you know, because they say it's changed. But I think that natural evolution, like I said, it's natural. I think that just happens. I got this one memory of Nakoa I wanted to mention, because I say it often in certain circumstances, and it's kind of reflective of what you're talking about, like this, the vibe from the 90s. I was at Fort Hall one time. This must have been not, it wasn't the 90s, but it was early 2000s, you know. And we were just chatting, you know, and then something about you missed your day pay and you're really upset by it. And he said, man, not this committee's got to know, man. I've got mouths to feed. You know, that's sort of the definition of that, what you're talking about. You show up to powwows, you get some day pay, it's enough to feed everybody and, you know, maybe a little gas to go home, but you weren't looking to, you know, win thousands or a thousand even. You're there to enjoy singing your songs, hearing new songs. I mean, there was competition then too, but like for the everyday singer, it was this, man, we're going to show up and we're going to jam and we know we're going to get a little money. Yeah, that's pretty awesome, man. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What you gonna say, Aaron?
For sure.
Well, now you got me thinking of like the vibe of singing, you know?
Yeah.
So, I hate to say this, but like the first time I listened to any of Nakoa's music, I was drinking. Okay. And so I remember it.
What is the AA like, time? Go ahead. Say your name
and,
first.
And I remember.
I
remember buying those. They weren't even like high class kind of CDs. They were like the regular burn CDs with like the paper labels on them.
Yeah.
Or like that kind of. And one of them was yours.
You can't get it wet.
I bought it and I was like, I'm going to check this out, man. And I remember because the same day I bought a Black Bull Junior's CD.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like the same. And he was jamming with them then, I think. I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember, but.
Well, you started them, right?
Well, was that you. That was like you, right?
That was Nakoa, right? You started. That's your drum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I remember.
He's being humble. He's being humble. He's being humble. That's my drum.
And we were cruising around, and I remember drinking Bacardi Raz. They're like these.
Cohen knows him. He knows him. He's shaking. Dude,
I remember just cruising the back roads, and we stomach just listened ache. To Nakoa like over and over and over and over. You know, and it was like I overdid it on that recording, but I remember that was like my first real introduction. Then later, you know, met you and stuff. But then you asked us to record, and we recorded in your living room, but. I would say for me, as far as singing, I would say contest singing. It seemed like them old school cats, they were, their foundation was non-contest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Really, after about 2005, 6, was like the first generation of people who their only foundation was contest singing.
Right.
So like you really see like song style change. You see like songs are now being composed for the contest, where before it was like you were just singing tunes people were making, because it was kind of, I remember like in the 90s, like Mystic River and Black Whistle and like of course Blackstone, and it was more vibey. It was like the style was, and there wasn't so much talk about contemp and straight then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember people really having these like discussions. It was just singing, right? People were singing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're making cool songs, and then you would sing those songs in a contest. And then after a certain time, it was like, no, you're making songs for the contest.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like to me the song structure, even the way they sound, changed quite a bit. And I don't personally necessarily think it was all for the good. Some of them songs are like, they sing them one time, like one summer, and they're gone.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, there's some classic tunes that need to be like, people need to grow up hearing these songs, you know, like,
yeah.
But it's like that part of it's gone. So like if somebody, there's a recording on YouTube from 2018, Blackstone singing like a song from that Fort Duchesne recording.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, dude. And as soon as I heard it, I was like nostalgia, right?
Yeah.
Flashback.
Yeah.
But then, and then I thought of like, oh, when I bought Blackstone live at Fort Duchesne and like what color my tape looked like and everything. Then I started thinking about kids aren't going to grow up with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The songs are like you sing them and then you throw them out, you sing them and then you throw them out, you sing them and you throw them out. They're not like, you don't think of like those songs don't bring memories like that White Clay recording. Justin White Clay put out a snap of the tape. That White Clay, first thing I thought of was that tune, that real contempt tune under that John made. And I was like, oh man, I remember White Clay. And then it made me think of White Clay singers, right? And you kind of have this whole thing, but I don't think young people are gonna, it's different for them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's definitely something that I've noticed too. With the with that is the how I don't know, everything's sped up like that, and it's kind of like a lot of these songs they do, and you know, especially some of them are like you said are should be classics, and they should hang around 3, 4, 5 seasons, you know, but that's almost like the level of competition, it's almost like it's I don't know if it's the competition that's doing it, but it's almost like some of them feel maybe that they're looked down on, that they're repeating a song almost, and it's like you know, man, let it hang around a little bit, you know, like she said, they sing it once and it's gone, you know, and but it's really nice to hear some of them old songs that come back from the 90s, and you know, one of the things that we've been interested in really lately we're actually going through a lot of our old Round Hat songs and old albums, and taking some of our favorite songs off of there, because just our level of technology at the time, it's what we had.
Right.
And, you know, and technology itself has taken leaps and bounds even in the last 10 years. And, you know, some of these albums that we put out Round Dance wise are like 20 years old.
Yeah.
And so we're going back, and then, you know, these are just within the last 2 weeks, these are discussions that we've been having with some of my little singing family here. Like my son, my daughter, my cousin Raj comes and records as well, and that's what we've been talking about. We're like, hey, let's bring up back some of these old songs that we 20 years ago, because there's a whole generation that hasn't heard them, so it's kind of like it's like new to them, but also in that it's allowing us to take that old, you know, song and that old recording, which wasn't very good. I mean, it was okay for its time, you know, that it came out. But like, if you compare that to our work nowadays, it's night and day.
Right.
And so we just kind of let's modernize it. Let's bring it into, to modern times with the softwares that we, they're just the capabilities that we have now, you know? And so that's really interesting. And that's because, and I'm kind of on that thing, is it's, man, it brings back a lot of those old feelings and times and stuff that. So, and we're even doing that with some of the old powwow songs. So it's funny Aaron brought up, Blackstone, because, you know, I reached out to like Randy and them, and there were some old 90s songs that I loved them. And I was like, you know, can I do a version of this, or can we put out a version of this, you know, kind of same thing, to record it, kind of keep it alive, you know? And those songs are like, 30 years old, you know, I mean, talking early 90s and stuff. So I was like, and they're just classics, right?
Yeah. That's the sound of, bacon cooking. That sound of bacon cooking reminds me of one of your songs.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So, we were creative. We didn't have the technology we have now and the sound bites we have access to.
To
make our own, you know? So, we wanted rain. So, man, that bacon was frying, and we put that mic right over there, and I mean, it worked.
And it did. Yeah. It did work. I think most people would probably think it's rain, huh?
I did. I thought it was rain. I thought it was like a soundbite or a clip you guys got. And it was one of my daughters who mentions it. We were talking about songs or something, and she says, "Oh yeah, that song with the bacon frying." I was like, "What are you talking about?" You know, that Nakoa's song, when they start out talking and then there's bacon frying. they thought the fight was over, you know, they were fighting while they were cooking breakfast.
That's what it was. It was fighting over who got that last bacon.
Yeah.
I think that's even the recording I was talking about, like that same album.
Yeah.
It has to be about 20 years old now, right?
Yeah, that was
maybe even over.
You know, it'll be 20 because we released it in 2004, so it's going to be 24.
Holy cow. Yeah. What's the title of that album? So those who are listening,
it's called Winds of Change.
Oh, that's right, Winds of Change.
Yeah, it's called Winds of Change. Yeah, yeah,
man, that's so awesome.
Koa took over the Round Dance world for a while, man.
Well, he still got it right.
What? Okay, so here
doing new stuff. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I'll say this.
All right. All right.
This is my give kudos to the guest speech.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll build him up. We're going to puff him up. He's kind of slouching now. He's slouching right now. That mic's going to go up a bit. Okay, do it.
So 25 years ago, everything was Canada, right? When it came to round dance singing. For me, it was like Little Island Cree's like GOAT, right? Like that's the pinnacle of round dance singing.
Yeah,
Art Musiman, of course, is right there. But for me, what got me into singing was Little Island Cree. But so we start singing, hanging out in the bedroom, singing, trying to sounding horrible. I mean, and then now sound horrible again, like I'm back to sounding horrible again. But we didn't have Montana, didn't have their guy. So you look at certain provinces, and it was like, oh, they have the Northern Cree dudes are. Ken Puyak and are like even Mark Long John, right? Like everyone's kind of looking at this round dance and Clayton Chief and even like Washington had like the Scabby Road Boys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So White Eagle round dances. Remember those ones?
White Eagle, the songs of the Bear Hills was probably one of my favorite round dances.
Oh yeah. Classic.
But when Koa came out, it was like, oh, here's this Montana guy. And then we had our Montana round dance singer. So for sure, man, I think there's a whole generation of round dance singers that they're either are influenced by Nakoa or they have no idea like he was doing it before a lot of people, like making round dance a thing. I think there was a lot of guys who could sing round dance and they were pretty good at it. Like, man, like Powwow Standing Rock, like holy smokes, man.
Yeah.
You know? the guy who led a song from the stands.
From the stands, yeah.
Yeah.
That's epic, man. It is.
But so Koa kind of became the round dance. And so then that means your Eagle Calf kind of became the round dance facilitator for the region.
Yeah.
Which was cool, man.
Yeah.
And Eagle Cap is your studio, what you call. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was, you know, we did everything under, you know, that our own label, which was Eagle Calf Records, you know, and, you know, I'll be honest with you. Part of that was when we started doing, when we decided that I was going to do my first solo album.
Yeah.
We were, seriously though. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. We were so broke, you know, we couldn't pay attention. So I couldn't pay anybody to help me in any way. I just didn't have the funds. It just wasn't there. So in that, I mean, now, you know, in present day, I'm very grateful for it. But, you know, at the time I had to learn to not only be the audio guy that has to, you know, hey, where do you put this mic? How do you, you know, what's the best sound? How do you, so I had to learn all of that, but then it goes into the next phase, and that's just the recording part. And then it goes into the mastering phase, and that's like learning all the, you know, the softwares and in the mastering, you know, part of it. And even to this day, I mean, I don't care how good of a mixer master somebody is with the software, it can do more than. I mean, it's really amazing. The technology has grown so much, but anyway, I was getting at is, you know, we had to learn every step of this way. So not only did I have to learn how to be an audio guy, but I had to learn how to do the mastering. Then I had to learn how to design it, you know, so I had to dive into graphics and all this stuff. And then from there, then I had to learn how to be a manufacturer, meaning I had to learn how to make it.
Yeah.
Make the actual product that we could, you know, put out. That's like, how do you print on the CDs? How do you wrap it? Yeah. How do you, and we had, I'm telling you, we got some humble beginnings. I mean, we used to use those, you ever see those commercials for those vacuum food sealers? You know, that was our first sealer that we made our bags with. We would buy our shrink wrap in rolls, like big rolls. And, and then we would just, you know, cut a square out. And we'd have to make all four sides. So it's not like we ordered bags. It's like we had to make all four sides. And but anyway, so we end up, you know, having to learn how to be a manufacturer. But then we had to turn around. And the final step was, how do we get it to market? You know, and that was that was just straight guerrilla marketing. I mean, just boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Door to office to office, store to store, face to face.
You always had a bag. Everybody always had a bag.
Yeah. So like the whole process from beginning to end is it's a huge process to do all that, but I had to learn how to do all that. And then slowly over the years with each album, with each artist that I ever worked with, I learned more and more, and it just, you know, it started to improve. But not only was the skills improving, but also the technology and the stuff is also improving. You know, there's better softwares coming out. There's more control that you have over the sound. Of course, a better recorder. I mean, that was, you know, the biggest leap for me as far as, in fact, Sean Dean, you had a multi-track recorder before I did. And we were driving to your house in the middle of a winter storm one night to go borrow it because we were going to record Cree Society. But anyway, our gas tank froze up that night, believe it or not. Yeah, man. Yeah. And it was a farmer who pulled over, I mean, who knows what would happen, but he pulled over, says it's too cold to be out here. He gave us a ride and we got the car running eventually. And we just turned around and went back home. But so that was a huge leap when I got my first multi-track recorder. That was huge.
Yeah, I remember the mini disc. That's what you was recording on.
That's what it was.
Yeah, the mini disc. You still got the mini disc masters laying around?
I do. I have some of them. Yes.
But, the old mini disc.
Yeah, and the mini disc was a huge. I mean, for that time period, you know, 20 years ago, that was 16-bit sound. You know, so it was CD quality recording coming in, which was new to us. And I think back then the mini disc recorder was probably around $400, you know. And you know, those of you who are born and raised and grew up on a res, $400, man, that's like equivalent to like, you know, $2,000 to us today. You know what I mean? And
unheard of to spend $400 on anything.
It was I mean, no one didn't have that kind of cash, but when we got our hands on a mini disc recorder, that's, you know, we were feeling hot, you know. There ain't too many of your bros have a mini disc recorder, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I remember that time you guys came over and recorded in the basement there. That was you and your uncle and I can't remember who else, but you guys recorded that one song. I don't know if that ever made it onto any of your albums, but that's a pretty nice song you guys recorded there. But
yeah, oh, that.
I still have it.
Oh man,
do you remember?
No,
I'll send it to you. I bet you never. Man. I bet you never put it on any of your albums. You probably don't even remember it.
Yeah, that's true. I probably have to relearn it.
Yeah, I'd have to relearn it. I'll get it to you.
Yeah,
it's a good one. Yes. What was you going to say, Aaron?
No, I just remember when you had that.
Oh yeah,
that recording stuff. All that recording stuff at your place in.
Yeah.
Missoula. It would have been Missoula then.
That's where That's where Nakoa came to my little Missoula house there downstairs in that basement. You guys recorded down there too, ain't it?
I recorded a couple of whack tracks there. Yeah.
I was just listening to one of them the other day.
Yeah. So we should play that's the underground.
The underground. Yeah. The
underground stuff. We actually recorded in your house. I remember me, Bronson, McDonald, and Jordan, a song Nakoa showed us.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't remember the song right now or anything, but I remember.
Yeah. Still got all those. Yeah, it's good ones.
But it was just for fun. It was like we were just messing around. Like, yeah, it was like you had a homie that had some shit to record with, you know? And it was like, let's go check him out. Let's go check him out, you know?
Yeah. Got it. You got it.
Pretty good.
To me, I feel like singing, that's what I'm always chasing now, is that feeling from that time where singing was like, man, it was fun, you know. It was, it was cold, and it seemed cold all the time. I don't know why. When I think back in my head, it was cold all the time, and it was like you always had a hand drum around, you always had a couple sticks, and you were just, you'd crack a tune out anywhere, man. And
anywhere. Remember the debate about the purest debate. Who would say, oh no, if you're going to record, you shouldn't put any effects on. It should be pure. It should be your voice. If you put echo in there or delay anything, you're taking the spirit from that song. Do you remember that people saying that stuff? Do you remember that? No?
No, I didn't hear too much
of
that.
You never heard that?
No. But we used to have to like my very first Round Dance album that I ever put out called Round Dance Time. I recorded it in Rock Hall in Fort Washakie, and it was in a huge room. So it had this natural echo. And I mean, because we didn't, my first one, I didn't have access to reverb or nothing. We had to create. I mean, I wish we'd have thought of the stairwells back then. Yeah. Man, I would have been fired.
The stairwell took over, dude.
Yeah. That's so.
I got a burning question for you, Nakoa.
Yeah.
Do you ever listen to any songs on any of the albums you made and then think, oh, God damn, why did I record that?
Well,
or is everyone your baby? Be honest, man.
No, I don't really have a problem with any of the songs. What makes me cringe is the recordings. That's I pull up some old music and I'm like, oh man, that's just not good. You know, I got no problem with the songs. It's just knowing, we've advanced so far, you know, right. With the softwares. And like, in fact, this just happened the other day I posted an old song off of that album. In fact, that Winds of Change album.
And I
was looking for it because I was teaching it to my daughter, and she was like, whose song is that? You know, and I said, that's my song. I said, here, I'll show it to you. And I pulled it up and it started playing, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what is this? You know, like what am I listening to right now? But yeah, but
you gotta remember the standard. But even for people who sang or are actively listening to music like that, the standard was so low because we were willing to listen to tapes recorded on like little recorders, that cracky sound.
Yeah,
so like,
mono.
Even when your stuff came out, it was like, holy shit, man. Like,
yeah,
you can hear it. Like, it's Yeah. You know what I mean? It sounds full. So like our standard was so low. Like these guys will never know what it's like to like record a tape at a powwow, you know?
Because even your iPhone, dude,
the iPhone sounds better than probably some of them recordings back then.
That for reals. Yeah. You know, what's funny though, is, you know, at the time when that, when we first put that CD out, Winds of Change, we were so proud of it, right? Like, you know, we were able to add some reverb and stuff in there and we were so proud of it. And we were, me and my cousin were actually talking right after it was all done. And we were saying, how are we going to top this? You know, and now we look back on that and it's absolutely funny to, you know, to think that we're like, how are we going to, you know,
Well, I remember, you topped it pretty easy, actually.
It grows and the evolution of that has been pretty wild to see how fast, because, you know, prior to that, you know, Sean Dean, I know you've grown up with, you know, you've seen the technology grow a little bit, right? Yeah. You know, you've seen the kind of from the cassette tapes and then it kind of gets into even like internet and things like that. You know, our generation right here, so, you know, we were there in the birth of the thing, right? And then so we kind of seen how advanced and how these things took leaps and bounds within, you know, just a couple of decades, like compared to what internet was 20 years ago. And I mean, no one was on it yet, even phones and all this stuff. But that jump within the last 20 years has been so rapid. And it's very similar with like softwares and, you know, recording stuff like that. It's similar. Like those have also taken leaps and bounds with some of the capabilities. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as an audio engineer, it's amazing with some of the stuff that the capabilities that they have.
Have you ever considered doing more like, just because you got the equipment and stuff, more like ethnographic stuff, like starting to record like in like traditional music, like more just for, not for production, but just for like preservation, just because you do understand sound so much? Like, we don't really have recordings like that are that high quality, you know? Like, have you considered that kind of stuff?
No. I mean, I absolutely have, man. And in fact, it's cool that you bring that up, because so we built a studio here, and this is where we do a lot of our like music stuff right here. But but one of the things, you know, we're working on a project right now. Well, I am, and it's an Indian education tool is what it is, and so we're working with storytellers, and they've come in and started sharing some of these stories, and because it's built for schools, right? It's built for we wanted to share some of these stories, like the origination of powwow. Where did the story behind that, where did that come from, you know? And then just other light things, you know. So I started with a Cinnaboyne series because that's who I had access to right away. Like, you know, right now I can, you know, my uncle's one of our storytellers. And, so I said, you know what, I'm going to do a little Cinnaboyne series and, we're going to, he'll, and he did, he came in and we recorded, he shared some of the stories, he even shared a couple songs, some old songs. And then, there's also, we're kind of, you know, branching out into a Great Plains series, with it. But just, this has been heavily in the talks here for the last 4 months, actually, probably. And since we've gotten this education tool together, and we have enough right now to launch. I mean, we launched this year for schools, and so we are we were talking about, how do we grow this thing, how do we be able to come to other reses you know, work with their storytellers or some of their like song makers and you know, whatever that may be. And that's what it kind of falls under. It falls under the it is a form of preserving, right? So that was kind of the angle we were looking at, is, you know, maybe we can talk to some maybe different programs or even the tribes itself and say, look, here's this thing that we're doing, but at the same time, you know, if you guys want to preserve some of this stuff, you know, we can help do that. And whether you want to share it or not, that'll be up to you guys. You know, they can just take it, keep it if they want. You know, they don't have to share it, but
yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of been a huge topic here for us is, what it does, it falls under that preservation, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's a strange one, ain't it? When you talk about this idea of preservation, you know, there's this, just like I was saying about the debate about the purist, you know, singing versus the edited, you know, or the, mm-hmm. you know, augmented in a certain way. You know, I just remember that sort of debate going on. It sort of started when Randy Woods was doing his, you know, some of his first solo albums, you know, they were pretty good, you know, and then, you know, he kind of started doing something different and people didn't like it too. Well, some people didn't like it a whole lot. They thought, too much mm-hmm. editing and all that. But this, in the same regard that you were talking about, like preservation of stories and those kind of things, you know, there's always that that audience out there that says, well, these things ought not to be shared in that manner. Mm-hmm. You know, an example would be, you know, archives these days are requiring tribal consent for you know, old songs and old stories that were recorded. Whereas before, you know, you could go back a decade and you could just request those things and they just send them to you without consulting the tribal group, those kind of things.
Yeah.
So I guess in that way, you know, it's the restriction on things kind of causes a dilemma for those who want to learn and know.
Yeah.
So one of the debates today is, you know, well, even before all that, should these kind of things even be recorded?
Mm-hmm.
Should they be documented in that way? And mm-hmm. some people say they ought to be practiced, not recorded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't share in that, but I'm curious what your thoughts are and if you've heard that sort of debate.
About for sure. That. Yeah. No, that's a, you know, I, you know, I can see both sides of that. And yeah. and I can even agree with both sides. I mean, you yeah. know, so I'm not really staunch on one side of the fence on that. I respect that side of it, but I also yeah. know that from, you know, my belief that it's we are in a different time, just like powwows evolved, just like music yeah. evolved, all this stuff. I mean, whether you want it to or we want it to or not, it's going to evolve. Everything yeah. is going to.
Yeah.
And so we're in a time now where like our kids and stuff that that's all like this technology has been there since before they were born.
Yeah.
And so, and a lot of times this is how they engage and this is how they learn is via, yeah. you know, video and, yeah. and things like that. And we kind of, you know, I come from the view of you know, we need to use what works, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes we do get stuck in that old mentality and, it, yeah. and it'll keep us stuck. It'll keep us all stuck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and unless we're willing to come forward and share a little bit and you know, do our little part, you know, that's kind of how I see it. So yeah, that's kind of one of the big, you know, things there, but I also agree like with, you know, like some of the things that like, you know, like ceremonial type stuff, sacred type stuff, you know, yeah. I do believe that that's not for everybody. Right. You know, I right. mean, so I totally respect that. Like, you know, so I look at it more like the lighter stories, like, you know, yeah. if we can get like, where did the hand game come from? Like that's we can share with the world. You know right. what I mean?
Right.
You know, the grass dance, the, you know, different dances in yeah. the powwows. And these are more social things, you know,
right.
You know, the ringtail, the round dance and, you know, some of these stories, yeah. you know, those to me, I feel should be shared because yeah. these are dances that our children participate in. And you know, yeah. You know, one of the things that inspired me even when I started building this little library of stories
yeah.
was I was taking my daughter to school one day, and she was at the time, this was like 3 years ago, when she's in sixth grade, and
yeah.
and she asked me, she said, "Dad, you know, we live on a reservation, I go to school on a reservation, and I learn nothing native." She goes, you know, she said, "I've danced since I was a tiny tot. And where did that come from? Where did powwow come from?" And in that moment, I realized that even as a father, I'm not sharing. I'm yeah. not passing nothing down to even my own children on some of these stories. So anyway, that was part of the that inspiration was like, why are we not sharing this stuff with our children? You know, and they even actively participate in it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we suit our kids up and they dance and they don't even know where this came from. What is it?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? We need to get these, I need to get these stories and we need to share them and get it to students, you know, that was my kind of vision for the project was we have to get these to the students because we're losing even some of the basic stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and I understand there's levels to it, you know, there's ceremonies and things like that people do that. Even many people on the reservation won't experience, right? That's maybe a smaller group that participates.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff, you know, definitely, you know, that should be that you have to live it, you know, you need to go and learn that in person, you know, that's how you learn those things. But like the general stories and stuff, the social aspects, I feel we should be sharing.
Oh yeah. So important. So important to do. And those blocks, you know, that we get sort of from the past, you know, where we kind of been subjected to some things that, you know, people taking stuff from us and
or even
limiting it, you know, that's kind of seems like one of the reasons why we have that that secrecy, you know, because we don't want to get caught or,
mm-hmm.
And it even morphs into other things today. It's, you know, our own regulations and rules, you know, we get in trouble for talking about certain things, you know, but
mm-hmm.
man, it's not gonna live on if we don't, you know.
Yeah,
it's pretty, and we've talked about that before on these previous episodes, Aaron and I, about that whole debacle and kind of where we're at. Yeah, man. So I got this thing. Cause I got two, not too shabby, round dance singers. Aaron thinks he's average and all that, but I heard him sing some decent songs and make decent songs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he has. And, he's making his face. He's making this kind of trying to be humble face, but I don't know. Cause I do that too. I don't know. So this is what I want. Now you're a skilled singer, and you know a lot of songs, and you know how to make, you know how musicians can, you know, they got a sort of a mastery of music in a way that they can make a song sound happy, make the same song sound sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Round dance song, right? Round dance.
Yeah.
So I got this. Let's think of some lyrics and let's see if we can do this. Because I want the audience to hear. I want the audience to hear this. The mastery of singing where you can make a song sad. Same words. It's almost same tune. And make it sound sad. Happy, like, sad.
Wait.
Okay.
You're going to make me sing? You're singing?
No, you are. we're gonna get you to say not feeling so shy. Let's think of these lyrics now. Think of the most common beginning to a round dance song. What would you say that was, Aaron? We'll go Aaron and we'll go Nakoa. What's the most common words for a round dance song, English words for round dance song, the beginning, the first ones that come to your head? Don't think about it too long. Just say it.
Oh my baby, or oh sweetheart, or oh my sweetheart.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Nicole.
That's what I was gonna say.
Okay. Yeah.
I was gonna say the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The one I wrote down was baby don't cry. That's the one I thought I'm gonna do this myself. Baby don't cry. Baby don't cry.
I would say
okay.
Sweetheart.
Well, that's mine. That's the one I thought.
No. I would say. Okay, oh baby. Don't cry. And then you got to say, you and I.
Okay, let's do that one. Okay. You okay with that, Nakoa?
Yeah.
Oh, baby, don't cry. You and I? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Okay.
So now, Nakoa. Because
you and I is in like every... It's either you and I are grammatically incorrect versions of me and you.
Well, Well, it has to be. If it's grammatically correct, it don't make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So now Nicole is going to add on to this. The second most, or something that seems to make sense with, oh, baby, don't cry, you and I. Okay, Nicole's got it. He's got a pencil. He's writing it down. Yeah. He's got this. He's got it.
I need pen and a pencil.
Well, get your pen and pencil, man.
I need a pen and...
Yeah. We're writing this down. Okay. Oh, baby.
Oh, baby.
Don't.
This is crazy, man.
Oh, baby, don't cry. You and I.
I found a note card.
Do that, dude, man. Old power bill envelope.
Oh, baby.
Write your... Yeah. Oh, baby, you... don't cry.
Okay, well, now, I go back up to rhyme.
Okay, yeah,
rhyme. Something with cry.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
So
what you got?
So far we got, oh, maybe don't cry. You and I, we've tried and tried. That's what I got so far.
We've tried
and tried.
And tried. Yeah,
so remember, we're looking both. You know, to be able to do it happy and
sad.
Right?
Yeah.
This is a good time to enter a straight break in the lyrics. So
Oh, baby,
don't cry.
Well, maybe
you and I. Yeah. We've tried and tried.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Well, how do you spell hey? Hey. No, I'm just kidding. We don't want to write
that. Okay, okay. It's hey,
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Holy. Okay. The last lyric. We'll only go three because we don't want to get too crazy. End. Or can we end it here? We could, right? Oh, it could be just a short.
No. It's got to end with something. In fact, if you want to go back to like the 90s, you would end with something that almost doesn't even match the beginning part.
Yeah.
It doesn't make much sense. It sounds cool, right?
Yeah.
Oh, baby, don't cry. You and I, we tried and tried. Like to the mountains we're gonna go, or I don't know. Something that really doesn't make sense.
It's gotta be kind of random. It's gotta be like
yeah. Okay. Oh, baby, don't cry.
Down the lonely road I go.
You and I, we've. Now we could even say we tried and tried. Not we've tried and tried. You wouldn't hear that, right? No,
We
you dropped the weave.
That's Koa dropped some sophisticated language there.
He did, man. He did. We tried and tried. What's the end? Let's see. Let's all come up with one and we'll see if it's the same. We tried and tried. Here we go.
This is so dumb, dude.
What? No, this is interesting. This is into the mind of the singer. All right.
Yeah. You know how long it's been since I made a song?
Well, now's the day to bring it back to life. You talk about singing and song. You gotta put your he's thinking about it now. We got him warmed up.
Well, you gotta kind of get momentum.
No, you gotta sing it through one time or two, right?
Okay, I got it. So the last words we can end with, baby, just maybe we can work this out.
Ooh. Oh, there it is. And that's why he is who he is.
Okay, we can.
Baby, just maybe we can work this out.
This out. All right. How many? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. That's 18 words. 18 words. To talk about a situation we've all been in. Now to add the mood. Now Nicole has been at this a long. He's probably the. This is like the master class.
Well, this is his deal. Yeah,
this is the master class, and I know he's got it. He could sing both this sad, happy. What would be other than their mood?
I'd prefer not to even be a part of this anymore.
No, man. You're a host here,
this
man.
This is crazy, dude. I'm not gonna try to have a round dance lyric off with Nicole Heavy Runner.
It's not who's better. It's not about who's better.
Dude, this is gonna get soundbited by 17 people.
Wow, yeah. We don't want that. All right. Here we go. Let's hear just your first off. Your first off on these this word, these words.
Who's see that? Me? Comes or, me?
Or yeah, Aaron? You do it. Yeah, you what is he getting his drum?
Yeah, I got a drum.
That's
man.
Pro. See, that's yeah. Pro. He's still in it.
Yeah. I didn't have a drum.
I know. To get my drum, I had to go dig in a sack, probably a Walmart sack, in the closet. Okay, here we go. Whenever you're ready. What are you going to do first? Like, sad? You can do sad or happy. You just see what comes out.
Yeah, I'll see what flows, man.
See what flows, yeah. Let the flow go.
So we're going with like, oh, baby, don't cry. You and I, we tried and tried. Way up, way up, way up, way up. Oh, way up, way up. Baby, just maybe we can work this out. Baby, just maybe we can work this out. Hey, yo.
Oh, yeah.
It's just off the top of the dome, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah. And that sounds good, man. That sounds good. Yeah, that's pro. That's now, that good. Was, what was the mood on that one, Aaron? What did you hear in that?
That was upbeat. That was hopeful. That guy was hopeful.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was hopeful.
So that was a guy who's under 30 years old.
Yeah.
Under 30. He's never bought his own socks.
No, that's an under 30 guy. So I think Koa now has to do a jaded fella who's been through the ringer now.
Well, no, we're gonna hear your version now.
No, dude, I'm not.
Come on, man.
No way, no.
Just hum it through once. Hum it through once. No, come on. You can do it.
I don't even have to write. No, dude.
We'll write it down. You can do it.
You're
just
crazy.
Do it.
No. You're crazy, dude. No. I'm not following.
You're not under 30.
You do it.
So I feel like the sad vibe there a little bit. You know, you kind of got to drag the words is how I feel it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You
can't quite sing
like,
it the same.
Yeah, you got to be like, oh, baby. Don't cry. You know, it's kind of got a little bit of a draggy, you know, it's kind of you feel it, man.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Usually on those ones too, those sad ones, the lead's shorter. It seems like to me that's kind of my intuition. Mm-hmm. Like the lead is sort of short. I don't know.
Well, maybe the lead's less complicated on a set.
Maybe that's what it is because it's slowed down.
It's slowed down. It's less complicated. Yeah. I'm not following Cole. I'm not even following you. You guys.
Come on, man. Give it a whack.
I'm a whack singer now. So it's not.
I wish I had some.
What you looking for? Some rattles? You want to get a rattle in there?
No, I was hoping to get some like reverb, you know?
Oh, there you go. Get the reverb and then. Do your best shot at the sad.
With the reverb, Koa, because that's where reverb really helps out the emotions.
We're going to set the mood. Set the mood.
We heard
the hopeful. Yeah.
Last year, we were at a round dance in Billings. I showed up late, so I get a text.
Yeah. You can keep doing your check there, Koa, while he's talking.
From Koa asking if I was going to this round dance in Billings.
So yeah.
Anyway, I show up, but I'm like late, right?
Yeah.
And so this is the vet Koa, like a veteran singer. So I show up, I'm kind of being bashful by the door. I come out. Well, I run into him. You were smoking, remember? And so I go up. He's like, all right, let's go in there. You know, I'm glad you're here, whatever. He gives me like, he pumps me up. So I go out there and we sing one song. And then he's like, we start humming another tune. He's like, go ahead, start it. So then I start it. The next song, he's like, oh yeah, go ahead, start it. So then we're like 9 songs in. And I'm just trash, dude. I'm just trash. And then the round dance is over, you know? And then I thought, yeah, I won't show up late again, man. That was like a tack. It was like a tactfulness to it. I don't know if it was intentional, but then it was like, yeah, it's a good song. Start it. Go ahead, start it. Pretty soon it's like, oh my God, we sang like 12 songs in like an hour. You know what I mean?
it was crazy,
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like a rookie again.
Yeah, getting nervous. Getting a little bit nervous. Yeah. So, okay. Nakoa, you got your sad.
Get your sad on.
We'll just
go off top of the dome, you know?
Oh, you don't want us to get you in the mood, like pick on you a little bit, get you a little bit mad.
No, okay.
Just channel the fight that you had earlier.
Yeah.
Our age, it's already there, buddy.
Yeah.
You're only one TikTok video away from being there, man.
Yeah. Pull from a range of emotions on an instant. Okay, here he goes. Straight from the dome.
All right.
He's got his effect. Let's see what he's got. He's looking at studying the lyrics again.
Oh, baby, don't cry. You and I, we tried and tried, yeah, we are. Oh, baby, just maybe we can work it out. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
That's the tune.
Yeah,
you're right. It seems like when they get sadder, they're more simple.
Yeah, they're simple.
That's it right there. Make the straight, part, and that'll be our theme song for the channel.
Oh yeah. That'll be our jingle. Man, that's cool. If anybody could do it, I knew Nakoa could do it.
Well, yeah, dude, that's like. We could put him up again. We're going to have a... Actually, I got in a round dance tournament one time.
Tourney. Oh, yeah.
In Muckleshoot, Washington. Do you kind of remember when they were doing that for a while?
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
I got ripped off. I'll say it. There's a certain family out in Washington that you're not going to beat, dude. You're not going to beat them, dude. Like... I mean,
on their worst day,
dude, there's no winds of change.
No winds of change album in your future.
That's when I was singing all the time and I was sharp and I sounded good. I didn't sound like Nakoa, but you know, shit, I could hang, you know.
Yeah, those were popular for a bit, ain't it? Tournament, especially, I seem like I only seen them in Washington. Yeah, what you got?
Oh, I just had to mention this before I lose it.
Yeah.
There was that Middlemen CD there that Aaron and them were working on that time. And there's a song. I just remember the lead. Yeah. But it goes, way out on way Ohio. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
I was off that Middlemen. That just came to my head. Yeah. So that was a good song.
That song was kind of inspired by Bronson.
Okay.
Bronson McDonald.
Yeah.
And it's actually one of the few tunes that I've actually sang, like outside of like where like people are like, hey, let's sing that tune. And Bronson named it Beef Stew Blues.
The Beef Stew Blues.
Because we helped the family move into student housing. And then they fed us beef stew. And while we were walking home, I made that song.
Oh yeah. That's a good song, man. You know, I mean, I don't know if you would mind. I mean, I know we're in our own places and stuff, but I'd like to do a version of that, bro. You know, just to kind of like you said, keeping some of those classics, alive. You know what I mean? That was a good song, man.
That was during the Big River Cree days too. So I think when I listen to it now, it's like, the song doesn't drop. And Big River Cree was kind of, they kept songs like they hang, you know. And I think I'm kind of thinking like that song had some of that. Well, it drops a little bit, but it stays pretty. You don't start it real high, you know.
Yeah.
Man, that's been a long time since.
Yeah. Long time.
That's the one.
See, we got him warmed up. Now he's ready. Let's hear it, man.
No, that song, that was fun to sing, actually, because it was the first song while Bronson was making songs like crazy back then. And even John Stiffarn was making a bunch of round dance tunes then because he was determined to win that UW one man hand drum contest.
Oh,
and then he never even entered it, you know. So like Bronson was instantaneous, you know, he could make a song, and then John's song composing style is like legendary.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it's structurally perfect, like the way John makes tunes.
Right.
It's just like it demands respect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
So it's like the kind you have to learn. You can't just follow it and say in it you can predict what it's gonna do.
Yeah, you gotta learn the song and then you respect the tune. You know what I mean? It's like, oh god damn. And at the time they were both living with me. We all lived in a one-bedroom apartment we called the bullpen. And dude. And so I was never a song-making kind of guy, but when I did make a tune, and when John would say, oh, that's a good song, then that was it, right? And so when I made the tune, I got back and I showed it to John, and he was like, damn, that's a good song, man. He's like, I'd sing it. And I was like, well, I made it. It don't matter now. It don't matter what happens to you. For every song approved by a respected singer, dude, that buys you 10 trash songs, man.
You can make an album. That one song.
And I think we did record that song at your house.
Yeah. I still have all those tracks.
We recorded it originally at Nicola's house.
Oh, really? Okay. Nice. But
I don't know, man. When I look back at it, I would like to, if I could ever, if for some reason that recording magically showed up, I would like it just for the simple fact that there's two people on the recording that are no longer with us, you know? But we didn't show up, dude. To me, like when I think about it, it was like, we didn't show up. We fucked around we were messing around too much singing. Like we sang for like 6 hours the day before.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
And so like when we were recording, it was like, we sounded good, but it was not what the recording started because I think you saw us at a hand drum contest
or something. Yeah. Something was going on.
Hey man, you guys should record or something. And I was like, all right, whatever, you know? And I always thought like, but we didn't know the game. We were young and we were just singing all the time. Like, you weren't going to stop us, you know? Like, even if Koa wanted to record us, we were like, no, we're going to sing the whole way up there and all night. And it was like, but in a weird way, the recording not coming out didn't really bother me that much because it was like, the experience was fun, man. Like, it was fun. We went to the Rocky Boy. We recorded that Thursday night. I can't remember. It was like either after Rocky Boy or before it.
Yeah.
It was at the same weekend though. And something that I didn't realize how hard it was to record round dance songs in the summer.
Why is this so hard to do in the summer?
Like, well, it's just not the same vibe. I was like, we were sitting there, and it was cool though, man. We had Tony and Jude Phelan recorded with us. Of course, Acorn and Bronson and the late Jeremy Eastman, and then you and Beefy jumped in on like the last two tracks, I think.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So Nicola, you got your newest album out. It's out now, yeah?
Yeah. Well, actually, what it is, we're just releasing singles. So we're we're just trying something new. Because we don't really understand, I'm still learning the market, especially within this whole new era with TikTok and all these different social media things. So it's, we're just trying to get that all figured out. Like, how does that work? So we just said, you know what, we can, you know, we'll just release a single every, you know, maybe once a month or twice a month or something like that. We'll just see how it goes. And plus we thought, you know, we're just kind of thinking maybe it would entice people where they didn't have to spend, you know, $20 or whatever it is. You know, we'll sell the song at like $1.88 or something like that. You know, some of them are $1.70. You know, we're just trying that out and seeing, you know, maybe someone's be a little more apt to go, you know, hey, it's only $1.88, man. Let me get this song. And, you know, I mean, the way I see it, it's, you know, I just, you know, it's less than a cup of coffee. It's something that you'll always get to have, you know. It's a it's all digital, so it's an MP3, so it's you know, I mean, to me it's a good trade, right?
Right.
But half these resers, man, they don't have bank accounts. They'd be like, put in your debit card info, and they're gonna ask their grandma, and like, you know, by then they're like, I don't know, they'll just put their phone up against somebody. Like, you know what's funny I've sang at a handful of round dances now with Nakoa. It's funny because I noticed something with you, man. You never really seem eager to sing your own tunes, man.
You know, it's cool that you bring that up, I guess. And is that really kind of came from you know, when I would round dance like a lot in Canada when we were staying up there. And it was tough when, you know, it was like, it's like following, you know, like you're, you know, maybe you get the sticks and you're the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth guy out or whatever. And, you know, these guys are singing a lot of common songs. So they're all rocking. They all know them. And then you come out, and I've done it where I just bring my own set. It's like I got four songs and I'm going to sing just my own songs. But, you know, you got five guys that know it, maybe, if you're lucky, you know, and it makes it so tough. And it's just almost like, you know, following that really loud sound where everybody's singing, and then you got five guys, and it just almost kind of, you know, it kind of kills the vibe a little bit, you know, of the, so ever, you know, I've tried that a couple times and I didn't like how it felt. I didn't like what it really does. So I just kind of, you know, I like to sing what everybody knows. It's just easier. So that's kind of where that comes from, you know, you know, we would, there was times when we would show up. But I mean, but if I had, you know, I mean, cause we used to, sometimes we would travel in a pack of five of us, sometimes six of us to a round dance. Then, you know, if you got five good guys that, I mean, five good singers that know your songs, we'll pull them out, you know, definitely. But it's just, you know, that's one of the things with round dance, it's really become individualized. It's not so much a group setting anymore. And you know, you show up and if you get the sticks, you know, you share some music. But, and I mean, that makes it tough. You know, that's a hard thing, Aaron, there, like what you brought up, because especially when you travel a long ways and you go somewhere and you're a guest and maybe they honor you and you go out and you get the sticks, and, you know, people maybe want to hear that, right? And
I'd like to think that's why they invited you, or like,
you know, and it makes it tough because it's like, I got
solo in it, and singers are impatient too. You could go over a tune, you can even pick, okay, here's the easiest song I've made, I'm gonna go over it, and it's like they're just kind of like complacent to what you're doing, and then you bust out a lead for an old used up tune, and they're like, let's sing that. It's like, oh, all right, cool.
Everybody wants to sing at about, you know, 80 to 90%. That's kind of where it feels good, you know.
And if
you don't know it, you can probably give it, you know, 20-15%, and feel the same. I can relate to what you're saying, you know.
Yeah,
if you're the only one who's just blasting and you ain't got no pickup, it don't matter how good you're singing, how good the song is.
It feels like
work.
It is. Like work. Yeah.
Our singing with flat drums. That's hard. That's hard, dude. It seems like it kills your voice. I don't know. Is there something psychological there?
Maybe.
Man, me and you this summer, Koa, we sang at Walt Runs Above Steel.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? That end of our drums went flat, man.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like we died, man.
Yeah.
At least for me, it was hard, dude. Yeah. I could not sing. It was hard. You gotta have some bounce in your drum, man.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That helps. Kind of helps. I think it helps that vibration and stuff helps carry it, you know. Kind of gives it, has that bounce. And
we can't all be Sean Dean Pete.
Yeah. Sean could sing on anything.
Dude, so
just give him a chair. Give him a chair to pound on.
Well, hood. He's probably sang. He sang on hoods. He sang on chairs, probably chairs posts. He's probably sang on
a
lot of boxes. I made a hand drum out of packing tape and a bucket one time.
Nice.
It sounded good too. It sounded really good. Yeah, it was real, got that kind of ping to it. Bing, 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 bing.
You know what's funny is our listeners, I think largely are academic, I'd like to think, but they have no clue, Koa, how good of a singer Sean Dean is.
Yeah. I know. I think Sean Dean's one of the, like, I mean, you know, he's kind of, I don't know, he's done a good job of, like, kind of playing it low, you know, like, flies under the radar, but he's one of the most underrated singers. Like I used to wish he would travel with us, man. Like, he would come help us out. And it's like, when he come and sat down, it's like we went to this, you know what I mean? That next level that you're trying to hit. And it's like, there it is. This is our dude, you know. But man, it was tough.
And he wouldn't,
you know,
do it. It's like he's got commitment issues, I think.
Yeah. It's like, come on, dude, you gotta help us out, man.
It's like, what, dude? Dude, I've sat at the same drum with John Stiffarm, Mike LaFromboise, and Sean Dean Pete, and goddamn.
Yeah. Legendary. Legendary.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The love of singing really drives kind of how you decide to approach it, you know. And mm-hmm. I always wished I could travel and sing around, but it wasn't a big enough wish for it to happen.
Right.
And, like, I had these other things that pulled me, like bigger wishes. So yeah. I tried to maintain, well, you know, I use singing as sort of a vehicle to achieve these other things that I want in my life. And so like this past weekend, I said, man, I need to sing anything. So I went to the local powwow and just blasted, you know, and get that feeling again.
You mean you baptized BC?
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but you know, you have a priority, you know, on where you set your skills, no matter what they are, you know, whether you're a singer or you're a writer. It doesn't matter what you do, and you choose how to use that depending on how you want to spread that out in certain areas. So,
right.
Yeah, I always had that desire though, but it's just never. I just always had too many kids to, you know, travel around, and so I thought, well, there's other things that I need to do with that. And so teaching that to them, passing it on to them, maybe they'll go do that. But
yeah,
man. Yeah.
Well. And if you're like me, I became very picky about who I wanted to sit at a drum with for 15 hours a day. Like, because if I was just going to jump on a crew, it was like, man, do I even like, I got to sit here and visit with these guys, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like,
I know it matters. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's pretty tough. So it got to the point where there was other factors in singing and traveling that I didn't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I... And so I became pretty picky about who I was singing with. And it really just came down to, like, I like local powwows or singing with Dry Lake or something. Or like, because I knew those guys are my friends. So I knew we could hold a conversation outside of singing, because I've sat at drums all weekend and people, all they want to know is, where are you going next weekend? I sang with so-and-so at this powwow. Do you know? And it's like, that's cool. But I mean, I like other stuff too, man.
Yeah,
it's kind of shallow.
Well, like, and
we was saying.
We was at Rocky Mountain College Powell a couple of weeks ago, and Koa comes up to me at the drum. We started visiting. We talked about singing, but you could tell the way we were talking about singing was probably not normal to other singers.
Yeah.
At least that's how I felt. That's how I felt. I mean,
getting deep.
So yeah. And then Walt was there, former guest of the show. He turned around. We started visiting, and it became like this weird, it was a podcast really, but it was cool. And I was like, man, if I could get that experience all the time at drums, then I probably would sing more. But really, yeah. I used it as a vehicle, like you.
Mm-hmm.
Learned a lot from it. I appreciate every bit of it, and I enjoy it. But
yeah. Well, I'm curious, Nakoa. Tell us about sort of the your words of wisdom you would give to these up and coming singers or these younger singers who are deep in it. You know, sort of some things that you would impart upon those this younger generation from your experience.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things you would say?
Well, one of the things is definitely you got to keep it coming from the heart. You know what I mean? It's that. I think that's the thing that will drive it, because when we lose that kind of like lose that connection, or we could say when it comes more out of from just the ego. And I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying when it comes from that, it's a different feeling that we're putting out, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, my encouragement is that music to me, now this is just my perspective. I ain't saying I'm right or anything. I'm just saying this is how I've come to believe it and view it, is that music is a way to speak with this universe without, you know, even just a tune can do it. You don't need words. You don't need, and it's really a vibration, and that coming from the heart is like the way I see it is it's so much more powerful. It goes so much further, and the effects of that lifting people up is really powerful, right? I mean, I've felt that from other people's music that have lifted me up out of like even tough times, you know, really, really tough times. And I've heard someone else's music and it does something. You feel it, especially when they imprinted that from the heart, like when were singing, recording, don't matter. But if they were in that heart space and you feel it, it's healing. Music can heal. It can lift you up. It can do a lot of things. And but I think the most powerful aspect of that is when it comes from the heart. It imprints it into the music, and so that's just one thing I really like would encourage you know, singers that are younger singers, or you know, that are up and coming, is just really try to remember that what it's, you know, to me that's what music is about, is you know, sharing that it's for everybody.
Yeah,
it's not just ours. It's something. It's a way that you help other people too. I guess so. I've had people over the years, and you know, I don't say this to brag or anything, but you know, just messages, just private messages where people have reached out and said things like that, like, hey, you know, like I lost a relative or something in your music. Mm-hmm. You know, it did something. So I can relate to that, because I've felt that from other people's music as well. So I'm like, man, that's good. You know, thank you. I thank you for sharing that with me, or letting me know that, you know, and because I totally relate, man. But yeah, it's just keeping that you know, heart space going. And now, I don't know, maybe it's just because you know, maybe we've been around it long enough, but now it comes from a place like when I sing, I go and I do it because I want to. You know, and there was a time, you know, I'll be honest, like, you know, hey man, we all grew up on a reservation, we know what it's like being poor, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a time when like you were just counting on this cut or this
I got mouths to feed,
whatever. It's like, like, dude man, like, and that you know, it really, sometimes you get lost in that, because it becomes almost like work, like this is all I got right now. So now, you know, it's nice to be able to come and go to a powwow or round dance or whatever, and truly come with that intention of from joy, you know, like I'm here because I want to be, and I'm here just to enjoy myself and to share that with others. It's really, it comes from a different place, man.
That's good. Now, one other question too. What advice would you give to older people about singing in that kind of same regard you're feeling about the older folks?
I think this is just what I've seen and I get it. Like I said, it's not a put down or anything. But one of the things that I've found with the older is and I think it's in all of us, but we don't like change. You know, we just don't like the change. I think the advice would be to accept it, you know, and flow with it. You know, that old saying, what you resist persists, you know, it's almost like, cause you know, there's probably aspects of it, you know, both of you guys have seen that you don't like, right? There's like, man, you know, it used to be like this and it ain't even close to that. It looks like something different now. That's life is it evolves and changes. You know, it's one of those four, it falls under one of the four spiritual laws, is that one of the things that is constant in this universe is change. It's going to change.
Right.
So that would be my thing. It's just, you know, you got to just roll with it.
I can relate to that, man. Yeah. Both of those statements are pretty spot on. Yeah. That's cool, man. That is awesome. Aaron, you got anything?
No, man, that was good. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you're going to say. But I said it, man.
Said it.
Go.
That's sort of what.
Download his music.
Oh, yeah. For sure, man. For sure. Yeah. Check it out. So I didn't let a lot of people know this, but over the last 3 years, I think it was, I pulled a lot of my music off of these major platforms, iTunes, all that stuff. I built my own website, and that's where we put our music. So it's just NicoleHeavyRunner.com.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay. So only place to get exclusive, not the bootleg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the bootleg, not phone to phone recordings.
That's me. Yeah. I live in the bootleg world.
I live in the bootleg. Sort of the upper part of the boot. So NicoleHeavyRunner.com.
Yeah. Yeah. NicoleHeavyRunner.com.
We should record a track with just us three sometime.
Yeah, we got to do it.
We'll let you take do it, man. All the leads.
Yeah,
we got to do it.
Nicole takes all the leads.
Yeah,
it'll be a lead rich.
We should do it with every singer that was a guest on our show. We'll record a track.
Okay, yeah. So Mike,
John, Jason, Stefarm, Walt, Runs Above.
Yeah.
Oh, Aaron Tutusis. Who was on here? Aaron Tutusis.
Aaron Tutusis. Jason, Jason Heavy Runner.
Oh, Jason Heavy Runner. Corn Dog.
Corn Dog. Sure. Corn Dog Bandit. Jason, yeah.
Yeah, we should do it. It'd be fun.
It would be fun.
I'm just trying to get on Nicole's shit, man.
Trying to get on one of his albums. Well, he wants to redo one of your songs. And that'd be cool to hear that. Because that is a good tune.
Whatever.
Have at it, man.
Good tune.
Yeah. Good tune. Well, actually, we got to bring you up and then we'll just do it here.
Yeah.
I would say we could do it down there, but I think we would get better quality in the studio here.
Yeah.
I would say come up here. Just do it. Just take a day off and just come up, you know.
Do it, man.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, do it, Aaron.
Practice.
Hit some local, hit some local powwows and tell them. Yeah.